Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack Fritz, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if we would be doing this podcast if tonight's game had not turned out the way it did. After the first two games, we needed this one. What a win. Alec Bohm absolutely touched home plate. I will not hear anything else. And what a win, buddy.
Bohm always touched home.
I mean, the rest of the weekend didn't happen, right? Like, this was the only game that we're talking about.
Yeah, listen. It was never going to be an undefeated season against the Braves. The Braves are going to get theirs. It's okay. Bohm touched home, and everything's okay.
Bohm touched home, and everything's okay. I like that. That's a rallying cry we can get behind right there.
That's right. That's right. Everything's fine.
Look, if nothing else, that was I almost said a must-win game. Not a must-win game, but for our sanity for this podcast. And look, it was definitely an important win because going down there and getting swept, you just lose all the momentum that you gained with your hot start, with the 5-1 start to go down, and we'll get into it. But the losses were obviously frustrating, especially the Saturday night Jose Alvarado loss. We'll talk about it, but to come back in this game and especially be down early, to go down early and then, you know, kind of keep taking the lead and keep having the Braves snatch it back, and then to finally take a lead and Hector mow him down the top of the order in the ninth. It was, look, again, not must win, but it was definitely an important win for this team early in the season.
It was a right the ship game, you know. It was like, we might be sinking. There's the iceberg right ahead of us. We're the Titanic. But it was like, you know what? We're going to steer clear of the iceberg. Everything's fine. Bohm touched home. And, listen, it was an annoying series in Atlanta. It brought back a lot of bad memories. it's like every year you're just excited for the Phillies. They get back and, you know, they have that first week and week and a half, and it's like, wow, this is a good baseball team. And then they go to Atlanta and it's like, oh, this is the worst experience of my entire life.
It's like a torture chamber.
Dude, awful. Just straight up awful.
And it's like, oh, all of us who were like, did you know Freddie Freeman went hitless in a series for the first time in his career against the Phillies? Like, oh, really? Oh, he stinks. Oh, Ronald Acuna didn't kill us. Oh, whoops. Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? Big win tonight.
I'll take that. I mean, obviously you want to take 2 of 3. But the fact is, they battled tonight with the Braves with Matt Moore on the mound, which is whatever. They were right in the game last night. They were pretty resilient in both nights. And, you know, Friday night was a disaster. But, it was for as bad as Braves series have been in my life, not the worst.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's for damn sure. I mean, getting swept tonight on a walk-off homer by Ronald Acuna or something was definitely the way this one was. I was excited. I texted Jack Inside Baseball because it's a late night for us, and I was like, are you gonna be ready to go when this is over? And as Hector was coming in, he's like, you think this is over? He's like, come on, man, like, this is
it was way too easy of a ninth for me, like, way unbelievable. Too
I feel like I looked down for a second, it was two outs, I was like, what just happened? But hey,
really, really important question before we get into the rest
good,
because
I have two important questions for you, and then I want to get into the rest of the podcast, so you go first.
All right, you have to start a team with one player, Acuña or Soto. Who are you starting a team with?
So I said Soto I said Acuña for the longest time on this, and then in like the last, like the second half of last season, I pivoted to Soto, and now I'm reevaluating it. Acuña is definitely a better defensive player for whatever that part of it's worth. But, man, I think I'd still take Soto right now, but it's really close. Who would you take?
Yeah, it's annoyingly close, I would say.
I hate that they're both. And we'll get into the Acuña stuff. Don't worry.
Well, how about this? I'll say only one player touched home safely tonight in a tie game late in the ballgame, and that was Alec Bohm. So I'll take Alec Bohm over both of them. But if you make me choose who brings me more pain, I would say it's Ronald Acuña Jr.
Well, that definitely might be true. Certainly the most recent pain. All right. Two questions, important ones for you, and then we're going to dive into the stuff we need to talk about from these games. First one, actually related to tonight's game, as someone who talked himself into Matt Moore, and two people on this podcast, one did not, one after the last start said to you, like I said, Matt Moore stinks. After tonight, Jack, would you like to amend your Matt Moore position, or are you gonna stick with it?
JT is again sinking Matt Moore.
No,
but,
man.
But it's okay, whatever. No, listen. I don't know. I still think if you let me go through a game letting me call it, I will eventually give it up. But with JT calling it, I can't give it up yet. But I will say, no, it's definitely not been a good start to the season. But also, like, what's the plan here if he's just not that great? You know, I mean, is Spencer Howard going to be on his way back up here? Like, how long?
Better not be Vinny.
Listen, I agree. I would rather have Matt Moore out there than Vinny. But
I'd rather have Ranger Suarez out there than Vinny.
I just if Matt Moore keeps going out there and doing this, how long do you keep Spencer? Like, I know they want Spencer Howard to be this hybrid kind of pitcher this year, where they, if they have him start, it's for three innings max, but. I mean, Matt Moore is obviously not as good as Spencer Howard, and it might just be a failed experiment. Like, not every signing you're going to make is going to work out. So yeah, it's not a good spot to be in. And I wonder how many more starts they give him until they get Spencer Howard up here.
Yeah, I would say actually, I want to ask you that question later about what is right now the biggest hole in the team, but you know, obviously center field we'll talk about, and there are a couple other spots that come up, but I think you can make a big argument that starting pitching depth is the biggest issue at this team towards the back end, and we really need Chase Anderson to be, you know, what Chase Anderson has mostly been for the most part of his career, but like really need that if Matt Moore is bad. And I don't know how many starts. It's a really good question. All right, second question before we dive into specifics from the games. The more important question, I would say, you're a big golf guy. I didn't get to catch any of the Masters. Who was calling it with Nance not there? Do you know who they had calling the Masters? Or
a lot of Nick Faldo.
was a lot of
Faldo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure.
So. I was trying to think of like a witty tweet. But like I didn't feel like dealing with it today. But I think CBS made a mistake letting Jim Nance resign.
Yeah, I think so too. And even more importantly, whoever decided that resign and resign were the same word.
Dude, even more. Are you starting to come around on my way of thinking there?
I agree with you, but I would have looked into it more before saying on the podcast that we got breaking news: Jim Nantz resigned.
Yeah, but if you know me at all, I know. I only read headlines. I don't really like doing deep research into anything.
I know.
The only thing I do deep research into is like spin rates horizontal.
I know. You'll be like, oh well, baseball savant this or Brooks baseball that, but you read like half of a tweet and you're like, hey, Jim Nantz is leaving TBS.
Some say he wanted Romo money.
It's great. All right, let's get in the games. Obviously, not much.
There was no other games besides tonight, right? Yeah. Like, there was nothing happened.
Yeah, let's not talk about games, but let's talk about a particularly hypothetical game on Friday night. If there were a hypothetical game on Friday night, and if Zach Wheeler were to, let's say, not look like Zach Wheeler in the game we know he pitched this season, that gem of a start he had, what would you say about Zach Wheeler's hypothetical performance?
It was not great. It was just. I thought he was starting to make good positive trends forward after his last start, and it just felt like he could never get into a rhythm all night. I just never felt like he could kind of, you know, get on a roll and just keep it going and all that. The fastball location was brutal. You know, there was a lot of people saying about the umpires and, oh, they screwed Zach Wheeler. It's like, dude, Zach Wheeler, like, all right, there was maybe four times in a game where JT was set up in the outside corner and Zach Wheeler missed like 2 feet on the inside corner of the plate, and people were upset that that he wasn't getting a strike call there. And it's like, the umpire's not going to give you the benefit of the doubt if you can't hit the outside spot. So, really, the whole start from Zach Wheeler came down to not having good fastball location. You know, he's trying to hit the outside corner, and every time he tried to hit the outside corner, it just kept going further outside. And they tried to hone it in, and it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. It didn't have the same kind of jump on his fastball. And, I mean, it's one start, whatever. But, you know, I would like to see them get back to the plan that they had in his opening or his first start of the season. Whereas a lot of, you know, power fastballs up and all of that, and not trying to nibble the corners, which he's not great at. So I didn't like the game plan that much, and I don't think the umpire screwed him. I don't think Wheeler threw enough strikes and dotted the outside corner enough for the umpires to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and look, for the same thing we said the first time around when he was awesome, we're like, hey, he was awesome against the Braves. That's a damn good lineup. What an impressive start. Like, this time around, you know what? The Braves are a damn good lineup, and they're going to get you sometimes too. And if you don't have your best stuff, that's going to happen. All right, two more things from a hypothetical Friday night. I'll get to the more inflammatory one in a sec, but Joe Girardi, and in general, I wouldn't say a great weekend period for Joe, but I mean, like, it's rare you see a veteran manager who's as put together as Joe Girardi make a mistake like he did in that game.
Yeah, it's funny though. Like, I totally got where he's coming from, because that inning was so long and Cotham went out so early in the inning that, like, I too would have been like, oh, this doesn't make any sense. Why can't I go to the mound? So, like, I got it. It's still shocking that he pulled that. And if it was another manager, let's say, that was managing this team two years ago.
Can you imagine? It would be a topic on sports radio for, like, 3 weeks.
I know. But, like,
I mean, we got to be fair, right? I mean, let's be real. If that were Gabe, it would be a total meltdown in the city.
Yeah, it would be no one would handle it well. No one would say, hey, human error, or those things happen. It would be, oh, this guy has no idea what he's doing. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately they're going to lose that game anyway, I think. But, yeah, it was just like, come on, Joe. I mean, now, to his defense, the whole, like, the manager or the visits thing is just stupid in general.
I agree. I mean, look, I applaud them for trying to do things that don't really mess with the fabric of the game to speed up the game, like that type of stuff. But I'm with you for the most part.
Right. So, you know, it was not Joe's best moment, but there's been other things that he's done this season that I have had more problems with than that. Because I think Wheeler was coming out anyway. You know, the unfortunate part was that it was a 2-0 count.
It looks ridiculous. It's weird.
Right. It's just stupid. But yeah, it was definitely a shocking moment, and something that I did not expect Girardi to, you know, to happen to him. But also, that inning was so long, so I do totally, you know, see where he's coming from.
Yeah, honestly, the bigger gripe I have with Girardi was from which we'll get to, hypothetical Saturday game, but I'll get to that. The last thing from Friday, and speaking of maybe not your best night, it was not my pal Joe DiCamera's best night on Twitter.
What a night.
So tweeted, if you didn't see it, he tweeted, "I'm disappointed the Phillies did not plunk Acuna after he admired his home run ball for so long before running. I know a lot of young fans like these antics. I don't. It's not how the game should be played. And if it is played that way, a pitcher should do something about it." Obviously, like, the easy response is, Joe, a pitcher should not let the guy hit a 456 home run in that spot to do something about it. But, dude, I mean, we'll get, like, just the situation. But DiCamera, so this tweet has 18 retweets and 918 quote tweets. I don't think I've ever seen that before, not to mention 874 responses. That means over 1,700 people have responded in some way to this tweet. It is wild. What do you think of the situation itself and of Joe's incredibly old man take about it? I know you do. You love,
I love
the take.
From Joe.
Yeah, I know you do. It honestly sounds like a 90-year-old man got Twitter for the first time and saw this happen. It was like, "What are we doing? You gotta plunk that man."
I know. And so it's funny. You know me. I am pretty old school when it comes to this stuff.
Sure.
But it's funny. Like, I watched it and I remember the moment. And I never at one point thought that Acuna was doing anything wrong. Like, it was just...
crushed a baseball. Yeah, like, dude, he just crushed it. Like he even said, and I think it was tracked as, like, one of the hardest he's ever hit before. It's like, just, like, relax, man.
And, hey, how about we stop throwing Acuna, like, sliders or cutters in the outside corner? Like, he can reach that pitch. I don't know how many more we have to deal with before we can realize that, JT. But, it didn't feel bad in the moment, and I completely disagree with Joe. You know, I'm all for a good old-fashioned, you know, brushback. But I genuinely, like, I didn't feel it at all.
You can usually feel one of the
like, unwritten rules, quote unquote, being broken.
Like, and he was staring at the ball. He wasn't, like, looking at Wheeler and, like, staring Wheeler down or doing anything, like, confrontational.
I do love that it made Wheeler upset. Like, Wheeler, in his post-game press conference, they asked him about it.
Yeah, he was very short with his answers.
Yeah. Like, and not from the standpoint that, you know, I don't like it from the standpoint of, I don't want him to go, like, throw 100 in Acuna's face. But I like it from the standpoint of...
He got shown up, and he doesn't want to be shown up.
Right, but also I feel like it's a good moment for the Braves-Phils rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's one of those things that can kind of get this going. So, yeah. I genuinely... Rivalries in sports are great, even if both teams are good. And this is just a kind of another example of that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I thought, look, the most basic thing is don't let him hit it 456 feet or whatever in that spot. And I'm with you. All right. Oh, what do you think, real quick, while we're on Acuna, before we move on to a hypothetical Saturday game? The Acuna Segura stuff, like, it seems playful, but at certain times it definitely seemed like somewhat, you know, aggressive. But I think it's mostly playful, right?
It is. I would just like for there to be one highlight where Gene is the one, you know, celebrating a double and, like, you know, messing with messing with Acuna, and not Acuna killing us again and messing around at second base.
By the way, I don't think I didn't notice your JT slander in there again. It's becoming a thing.
Well, maybe, listen, maybe just get better at it and it won't be a problem. Also, real quick from Friday night.
Yes.
How about, did you obviously saw a moron Bryce fan that was like trying to chirp at Bryce.
And he's like, learn how to say his name. It's Acuna.
I know. I know. So it's that was, and then Bryce responded with two straight games of dingers.
Dingers, like important moment dingers. Like he had two home runs in tie games. Like, I mean, they weren't like, you know, down 10-3 and he hits a solo shot, or up 10-3 and he hits a solo shot. Like they were important game, important home runs. All right. Moving on to a hypothetical Saturday night game. Before we get to the moment, I think that is the biggest moment to talk about. Eflin, certainly not as good as his first start, or, you know, obviously in close, kind of started really poorly and then pulled himself together after. What were your thoughts on Eflin?
Yeah, I actually thought Eflin was great. I know the first inning was bad, and I get that, but like with most aces, you got to get to them early because then they settle in. But it was weird. So, you know, early in the game, he didn't have his command down. And then as the game started rolling along, and I think it's a really good plan of attack for Eflin, and I think it's something that we should see a lot more going forward. A lot of fastballs and sliders down. Like he'll keep the sinker down, and then he'll keep the slider down, and then he'll rush a four seamer up in the zone. And I know like people are all scarred from the Chris Young experience, and you know four seamers up in the zone are bad. But when you're consistently pounding down in the strike zone with your slider and with your sinker, rushing a four seam fastball up there at 94-95 is a really good and interesting plan of attack. So that was a nappy start, so you expect nothing less from the best backup catcher in baseball.
God, I love that guy. Love that guy.
Always have, baby. But yeah, so listen, the first inning happened, you know, but I just think that the fact that Eflin bounced back from the first thing, I think it was impressive because he's had his struggles against the Braves. I mean, everyone remembers the heavy leg start from July 4th in 2019 where it was like Acuna has like a 9-pitch at bat to lead off the game and Eflin was just done from that point on. So, you know, the fact that he left the three and then was really solid after that and, you know, gave him a chance to win a ball game, I thought was impressive. And obviously the run late hurt, but you know, I mean, it was a good start from Zach, and I really liked his plan of attack. So I'm definitely, like, if you're telling me to sell one guy from the weekend, it's not Eflin's performance. I thought he was good.
All right, before we get to the Alvarado play, I mentioned before the Girardi decision that I liked even less the decision to take Hoskins out of the game and put Knapp at first base. I like in a close game, I didn't get that. I mean, I know Knapp's better defensively because, you know, anyone is better defensively. But, I mean, what are you doing? Rhys Hoskins has been the best hitter on your team this year. What did you think of that move? I know you did it because of the batting order and you wanted the pitcher as late as you could be and all that. But, like, I don't think you could take Hoskins out of that game.
So, I initially thought the same thing. But then you got to factor in – you know, the two catchers thing, you know?
Right, so if JT gets hurt, you can move Knapp back to catcher is the idea. Yeah, that's actually, I mean, it is a fair point. I hate it, but it's a fair point, I suppose.
National League baseball, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
It's National League ball.
All right. The Alvarado play. I've heard some people, Didi should have been covering second, but, like, I don't blame him that much. He was thinking he was going to have to play the ball. Like, Jose Alvarado taking his eye off the runner at third. Like, the guy never stopped. He was coming home. Pasha, I think it was, whatever. Just coming home. Like, I that was a horrendously bad baseball. Like, and a brutal way to end up ultimately losing that game. Like, and I know Girardi afterwards tried to excuse it, saying, like, oh, first of all, that ball was clearly not hit hard enough to get a double play with a fast runner. But, man, like, in that situation, the only important thing is that guy at third base, and you got to keep your eye on him. That's my take. What did you think of that play?
Gabe Girardi letting his guys go after a fatal fall.
Dude, I couldn't believe it. I thought he was so soft on that, and I hope he was different behind closed doors, but he was soft on that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Especially because, all right, so here was my kind of take on it was that, first off, if you're in that situation, you're a pitcher. JT just ran through all the signs. You have communication with your shortstop. You guys all know where everyone is on the infield. And even if that, you know, whatever, if that ball gets to Didi, he's not at double play depth. Like, he's not in a position to turn that double play because the infield's in. So it really just comes down to lack of awareness of the situation, because I'm sure JT called it out there. You know, I mean, he gave the signs, and I'm sure that that Alvarado and Didi, they also have their own signs where they know what they're where they are, and they're on the same page. It just comes down to Alvarado turning the wrong way. I mean, he just turned the wrong way. He made the wrong decision. He thought he could get two, and, you know, he didn't. He couldn't make two. It was a mental mistake. He has to make that throw home. And yeah, it was terrible. But it comes down to, I think, a miscommunication and not having a good awareness of the situation. So it wasn't great, but it felt like a classic Phil's break. Heartbreaking way to lose.
It was the first time this season that really felt like the 2020 Phil's in any way, shape, and form. It really was. And look, let's talk about it. I mean, quickly in general, obviously that was a mental mistake as much as anything, but I mean, the defense has been bad for this team ever since that opening series where they look pretty good. It has not been great. Bohm obviously has looked better this season in general, but did not have a good weekend defensively in Atlanta. We've seen some miscues. Didi, I know Acuña got there quick, but another time where Didi does that kind of double clutch. It hasn't been great, Jack.
No, I totally agree with you. It's been really bad. And like Didi's defense, I feel like, is taking a significant step down. Just doesn't look like he's getting the balls as quickly. You know, there was even the play tonight was kind of ridiculous. I mean, it was a hard hit ground ball to shortstop that has to be converted into an out. It just has to be. No matter if Acuña is running as fast as he can down first baseline, like, that has to be an out. There was a play last night where it was a slow dribbler, and he just didn't, like, he's not really quick on the transfers. Like, he doesn't get it out very fast. I don't know, maybe it's eye test or whatever, but he looks a step slower, you know, when trying to get to balls. Reese is Reese. Like, he's gotten better at scooping balls, but overall doesn't help you protect the lines. Same thing with Bohmer. I mean, Bohmer looks pretty good defensively, but it's like, it's a very low bar. And then, you know, Roman Quinn and Adam Haseley they're not good defensive players. I mean, Roman Quinn can't, you know, read a fly ball off the bat, and Adam Haseley has the range of a snail. So, I don't know. I thought the defense wasn't going to be great, but I didn't think it was going to be such a big problem. But I would say, you know, a week and a half into the season, the 4 or 5 starters in the defense are clearly and then center field, yes, is another huge issue. But if we're looking at 3 Achilles heels for this team, it's center field, defense, and the 4 or 5 starters.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's concerning, and it was something that, you know, we did talk about coming into the season, but we didn't think it would be bad enough to actually cost them games. And right now, it's bad enough that it can cost them games. All right. But far too much talk about hypothetical stuff when we could actually talk about something real that happened, Jack. The Phillies won a baseball game tonight. What were your biggest takeaways from tonight's game?
Bohm was safe. That's no brainer. Takeaway number one. Yeah,
Bohm was. That's not even a takeaway. It's just a fact is what it is.
Yes, yes. Bohmer was safe. Bryce has his highest average exit velo of his entire career going right now, and he has 2 homers in 2 straight games ever since that Braves fan tried to chirp him. So Bryce looks great, and like, I don't know, the balls that he hits this weekend were like harder than I think I've ever seen him.
Oh my god, like the one tonight, or like last night, Saturday night's one, just like rocketed out of the stadium. It was wild.
It was. And it was just, like, if you look at all of Bryce's expected stats, like, his expected WOBA is top 5 in baseball right now. And even though he's I mean, it's dumb to look at stats, you know, kind of a week and a half into the season. But there was people like, oh, was he going to hit his first home run and all that stuff. And like he had a pretty big weekend down in Atlanta. And you said it earlier, and I saw the stat tweet out this weekend, but I forgot to grab it. But I mean, I think he's a career like 350 hitter with bases loaded since joining the Phillies, or not bases loaded, with in a tie game, with an OPS over 1,000. Like for all the Bryce criticisms of doesn't get big hits and only hits home runs when they're down by a lot of runs, since he's gotten here, he has just been a machine when it comes to late in ball games or tie ball games and hitting home runs to kind of put his team ahead.
Yeah, it's been really a lot of important home runs. Like, that's why I made that distinction before, because you know, there are a lot of guys, and you know you've had them on your team before, where it always feels like they hit that home run in a 10-1 ball game or whatever it is, you know. And it does feel, and it felt anecdotally before, and then I saw that stat, and it felt that a lot of Bryce's home runs were in these big spots. And, I think that matters, you know. And again, it does look like he's heating up. The at-bats were there early. He was grinding. He was having really good at-bats. He wasn't getting great pitches to hit. And it's slowly starting to come along. And obviously, the last two games, the two dingers. Obviously, I mean, again, Reese homering tonight. I mean, how locked in is Reese Hoskins? Just so far and away been the best hitter on this team through the first, whatever, eight games of the season, nine games, whatever.
Yeah, and I think it was maybe in the fourth inning or something, or maybe like his second at bat. I think Vasgersian might have said that he had already worked like 20 plus pitches from Drew Smyly, which is just,
well,
great.
That home run, the at bat that he hit the homer in was a great at bat where he kept battling and fouling him off, like, until he got when he could yank.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the home run against David Peterson was the same thing. It was like, they don't get that big inning if Reese doesn't work a nine-pitch at-bat against David Peterson. And sure, he hits the home run, but more importantly, he grinds out the at-bat and just puts the rest of his guys into position to hit. So, yeah, I mean, Reese has just been locked in all year. It's great to see. And, you know, he's so maligned, and I don't get why. You know, Reese Hoskins still hasn't walked, James. Like, he hasn't walked.
Wow, that's actually really crazy, Jack. Yeah. I did not realize that. That's, like, shocking.
Like, he's finally doing the thing where people are like, oh, he's got to be more aggressive and all that stuff. It's like, okay, well, he's doing it, and he's batting over 300.
And hitting to all fields. I mean, tonight's homer yanked to left field. Obviously, we talked about the opposite field one the other day. Like, he's using the whole field. He's doing what, like, we always are like, I want that Reese Hoskins.
Right. And I mean, he got Maley'd. We've been over this. I mean, he really did. John Maley sunk him. And he's kind of back to being the Reese that, you know, obviously 2017 was ridiculous. I mean, it was a hot streak that we haven't seen since, like, when Howard first came up. But, like, The guy is a good baseball player. He works really good at bats. He's finally doing the thing where he'll get it to, you know, 2-2, he'll foul off a ton of pitches, and he'll kind of wait for that fastball that he can drive, and it's right where he needs it to be. And again tonight, I mean, he works a 9-pitch at bat and takes him yard. And it's just, this is really, really solid baseball. He hasn't walked on the year. He's being plenty aggressive. And I'm just wondering, what, like, would you bat him lead off, or would you keep him at two? I know the whole idea of batting your power hitting first baseman lead off is ridiculous, but you know, you see the at bat that he had tonight. I mean, imagine starting off a starter with a 9-pitch at bat to get him into a ball game. That would be excruciating to deal with. So and like Acuña, I mean, he's not a guy that's gonna work a ton of at bats, but he's gonna put good solid contact out there, and he can work pitchers. So I don't hate the idea of trying to bat Reese leadoff.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've never hated the idea of putting a guy like that in the leadoff spot. It's interesting. I think he's really well suited for the two hole too, for the same reasons. But It's an interesting thought, especially if McCutchen continues to struggle, because that is one guy who's really not gotten it going yet offensively. Obviously, he had the home run in a hypothetical game on Saturday, but hasn't really gotten it going. Didi, the only other really guy who's kind of really gotten it going quietly yet, I think he's hitting every single game. The homer tonight off Smiley, he had been really, really bad against his whole career. The homer to center the other day against the Mets. Didi is all right. I was a little worried about him at the start of the season. I feel like Didi's bringing it offensively. Obviously, defensively, we talked about the struggles.
Yeah, but and he's another guy that it feels like he always gets a big homer when the Phils need it. And it was again tonight. It was just like, oh, we need a 3-run homer. Great, Didi's up. So, yeah, it's he. I mean, he's up to 294 on the year. I feel like he hasn't been hitting at a 294 pace so far. But it's kind of shocking how low he is in the lineup. But listen, I mean, they have a long lineup, and they're going to use that length. So, yeah, I mean, just another big Didi homer tonight. Good to see him get that one. And just figure out the defensive side.
All right, one last thing before I want to ask you. Like I said, I want to talk about the couple things that I think are the biggest weaknesses on the team and see what you think is the biggest issue, most important issue. But last thing from tonight, and I actually tweeted this, so Jack, you know I mean business when I tweet it. I feel so incredibly confident in the opinion that Connor Brogdon is the best reliever on this team.
I mean, love to see
it. I mean, he is. I mean, right? Who? Let's put it this way. If you could pick one Phillies reliever to come in for one inning that you absolutely have to get through, like, who are you taking over Brogdon right now?
No one. Yeah. I'm not. I mean, it's strikes. It's 97, and it's a legitimate changeup. So, like, I'm with you. I'm glad that everyone's, you know, finally starting to see it. It's good that everyone's coming around to Connor Brogdon being our next Madsen. And, you know, might be better than Madsen.
You gotta hit some of these at some point, right?
Well, I mean, you know, for the amount of people that love to tell me, oh, you got Pivetta wrong, even though his ERA is like 3.27, yeah. I think is the ERA right now. Yeah. Listen, give me a little bit of props for being dead right about Connor Brogdon. So listen, I'm not one to take victory laps. You know that, James. I'm all about the team here.
We never hear about things you do or your accomplishments. Never. Yeah. Never.
Oh no, I'm just excited to be here and a part of this team. But yes, Connor Brogdon is a metronome. One of our listeners, Michael, he's already coining him the string bean.
I like that.
He's very scrawny. But that's okay, you know, because it comes out in 97. I like referring to him as our Ryan Madsen. But I all the superlatives you can throw his way, I think they're all warranted because he's just nothing rattles him. He's perfectly fine. And the fact that, again, they actually had a reliever come up through the system and turn out to be very good is damn near shocking. And yeah, just another example of that tonight.
Yeah, it's a complete and total miracle. All right, quickly, before we get to the my question, we didn't mention, but Archie to the IL, I almost said DL, the IL. I'm not going to say he wouldn't have gotten hurt if he had come on the podcast, but it's certainly possible. That's all I'm saying. Oblique strain, so like annoying. It'll keep him out for a little while, but not a season ender or whatever, but JoJo comes up. Any general thoughts on that?
My first thought was the Phillies are never going to pay for a reliever ever again.
Well, how about the fact that you know, we know the Robertson thing. We were all never gets hurt. And then he comes here. And I think it was Corey Simon tweeted that Archie Bradley, he has not been on the IL for like almost 6 years or something.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Phillies.
Exactly.
Yep, welcome to the Phils. Yeah, so obviously the Archie Bradley injury, you know, sucks. I mean, he had been pitching pretty well up until when he had the oblique injury on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Saturday. So, yeah, not great. But the thing is that Like, they actually have guys behind them that can get a job done. You know, it's not like Archie Bradley goes out and the whole bullpen falls apart. Like, Sam Coonrod, I know what happened tonight, happened, and it was another JT, whatever. But
it's the first run he's given up all season.
Yeah, and it's to the best hitter in baseball. So, or, you know,
one of them.
MVP front runner, Ronald Acuna. So, I get it. But yeah, and I think he was deserving of taking down more big innings, and now he gets put in there. And, like, dude, I think JoJo's, like, already one of the five best relievers on the team, and I think it's ridiculous that he was never even on here from opening day, and I'm just glad that he's here now. Like, it was so stupid that he was not on the opening day roster because he's definitively one of their five best relievers, and now you're going to see him in bigger moments. And it also gives him another lefty, so if Jose,
yep,
you know, needs to be down for a night, which we already have seen this season, where he obviously is going to have to take a night off. Like, you can use JoJo Romero, and it's not, you know, a super, you know, downside. So it's not a win-win all around. You want Archie Bradley here, but I also thought it was freaking ridiculous that JoJo Romero was not on the opening day roster and wasn't up here by now.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is 97 with a wipeout slider. Can we get him up here?
Yeah, I agree. I thought he should have made the roster. I thought it was weird they were only keeping one lefty. I'm with you 100%. All right. Before we get to your take bag and before we get to a quick edition of what would Jack Fritz do? Yeah, no, nothing. Don't worry. It's baseball related. It's not like, I'm not putting you in a word spot. All right. But quickly, I mentioned before, but, what do you think is the biggest issue with this team right now? Look, they're 6-3. We should be happy with this team. They've had some tough losses, but also some really hard-fought wins. They seem resilient. Like, I like the vibe with this team. But, you know, like, look, center field, first of all, hashtag why not Mick. Mickey Moniak tweeting out a high hope shirt is easily the best thing that's happened to me this month. Thank you, Mick. You friggin' rule, and you are our guy forever. And seriously, hashtag why not Mick. Like, definitely the best option right now with this drivel. Like, Roman Quinn is an automatic out. Like, he is the most automatic out I remember as a Phillies position player in, like, since Andrew Knapp 3 years ago, which we always loved him, even then.
Yeah, that's a shot. Yeah, that's a shot at Andrew.
Never, never. It was just a statement of fact. Like, center field, clear issue. I would say just a right-handed bat off the bench, a massive issue with the, and ties into the Quinn thing. And then I mentioned before, I think the other thing you look at right now and say, you know, I think that's an issue is the depth at starting pitching, especially if Matt Moore continues down this road. Like, I mean, in theory, Vincent Velasquez is the sixth starter on the roster right now. If they had a doubleheader and didn't want to call someone up, Vinny would start that game. And I don't think they would make Vinny someone who's in the rotation unless there were multiple injuries. I think they would try Spencer Howard or do something else, Ranger Suarez or whatever. But, when I tell you those three things, and look, you hope they're going to try and fix all these things in some form or another, or at least attempt to fix them or make them slightly better, but what do you think is the biggest issue? Or is it something I didn't mention?
No, I think it's the defense. I think it's defense.
Oh, wow. There you go. Well, wow.
Because my problem with the defense is that defense is the one thing that can happen during a game that can just shift momentum like that. Like, it can just take the momentum and put it right in the opposition's favor, and we saw it this weekend. And, you know, the 4-5 starter thing is going to happen, but like, when I'm talking about game to game and trying to win every game, center field is obviously a huge problem, but a defense giving up runs late in games is so demoralizing, and it's the thing that reminds me the most of the 2020 bullpen. So I would say defense, none are great. And, like, again, the fact that Roman Quinn is our best right-handed hitting option off the bench is absurd.
That's really bad, man.
He is so infuriating. And it's like, again, the thousandth time, why are you trying to hit home runs? Just put the bat in the ball and let your athletic tools take over and actually help the, like, why are you striking out at the rate that you're striking out at? That it should never happen. And like, there's a guy in, like, Jed Jerko sitting on the free agent wire right now, and I looked up earlier today. I might have forgotten, but I think he's a 300 hitter against lefties in his career.
Anecdotally, I've owned him in fantasy multiple times. Obviously, like I remember him as someone who mashed lefties.
Right, like just go sign that guy. You know, for $1 million.
Can't be worse than Roman Quinn. Well, automatic out.
It gives you an actual option late in games. It gives you an actual option that you can go to and you know, at least it's not just
Scott Kingery, like the Scott Kingery killed this team in this spot. Like they were expecting Kingery. I think, like we've talked about, to be their center fielder, but if nothing else, to be a right-handed, you know, Swiss Army knife off the bench who they can, you know, bat instead of Roman Quinn and stuff. It's pretty sad. Pretty sad, Jack.
Yeah, and I do think that Kingery is going to be back up soon.
Yeah.
I mean, the reports from the alternates that are pretty good. You know, we're moving in the right direction.
Jeff Pag's back at some point. All right, yep. Take back before a quick game of What Would Jack Fritz Do?
Okay. Overall, like I'm not – the fact that they were pretty much in this series and you had a coin flip game last night, and obviously Bone was safe tonight, so there's never a doubt. I think it's good. You know, I think it's a good thing for this team. Not a super discouraging week, and obviously the Alvarado play happened, so I'm happy overall. So, like, the one thing that I wanted to get to, because I saw a lot of tweets about it tonight, so just inside the sport – so, did you notice Matt Moore grunting tonight?
No, I didn't.
Dude, like a total grunt fest. You would have thought it was like a tennis.
Yeah, sure. You know? That was my first thought when he said it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason why he was grunting so much or whatever was because what pitchers try to do is they try to have everything mirror each other. So if you're grunting on 91 when you're throwing your fastball, it's a good idea to grunt on your changeup because the hitter thinks that you're not just trying to power people away with your fastball. Right. So that's why Matt Moore is grunting on every single pitch was because he didn't want to.
Because he can't help grunting when he's dialing it up and got it. He has to mimic it. That makes sense. That's interesting. Yes. Good looking out there, Doug. Yeah. That's quite insightful from you.
Yeah, who would have thought? Yeah. It's an old Moyer trick, actually.
That's good stuff.
So. I tried to do it in a couple starts, and like I would get so worked up with the grunting that I would forget how to, you know, pitch. So
sounds about right.
Yeah. Yes. I'm always focused on the important things. I don't really have much else in my take back, you know. But my last thing is like, man, if we're gonna call Gene Segura a hit machine, it would be great if we could start getting the hits.
Dude, I mean, he's been rough, and like some of the pitches he swings at, it's like, bro, like that one, the one tonight, like hit like 2 feet in front of the plate in the dirt, and he swung at it. It's like, what are you seeing, man?
I know, and it's like, Gene, you can't be a 250 swinging at every first pitch guy. I mean, I like the aggressiveness. I think he's a good bat to ball guy. But it's time to get that average up to around 300. You know, it's. I mean, we can't be having the 250-ish seasons. I think he's batting, like, I think. So before McCutchen got hurt in 2019, he was batting like 310, I want to say, and since that moment, he's been batting like 242. So I need him to get back on the right track here if we're going to call him Gene Segura hit machine.
You're damn right about that. All right. Yeah. I'll use my final thought for do you have any final thoughts before I do my What Would Jack Do?
Well, we're on to New York.
On to New York. Obviously. And a four-game series, day game Thursday. Oh. We will be, no matter what happens, recording right around 6 o'clock on Thursday. So expect a new pod Thursday night.
Nice.
Is that fair?
We got Chase Anderson versus David Peterson.
Yep. No, I think it's Nola. I guess it depends on if they throw Stroman or not because he started the game. But like that'll be interesting. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Either way, pitching matchups favor the Phils.
I mean, if you miss DeGrom, that's what matters, right? But it's a four game series, so I don't think you will. Yeah, you're gonna see him.
DeGrom's supposed to go Thursday.
I mean, they'll lose for him anyway, so.
Well, it's so funny. It's like they forget to score runs when he's pitching.
Unbelievable. All right. Last thing. A quick game of what would Jack Fritz do? I saw this, and it made me wonder what you would do because, you know, I'm always intrigued by you in these types of situations as a, you know, former high-level athlete yourself. Okay.
That's right. Everyone knows that.
Shout out to RGM, our guy, Sam Fold. I'm not sure if you saw this. I think Corey Simon might have tweeted out. Someone tweeted this out. It was from Baseball Reference about our guy. It says, on this day in 2011, Sam Fold had 4 extra base hits in Tampa Bay's 16-5 win over Boston. I owned him in fantasy for this, by the way. I did. He goes, after hitting a double, a triple, and a homer, he came up in the 9th inning only needing a single to complete the cycle, but instead lashed a double into the left field corner. Jack Fritz, you are in that situation, the totally real hypothetical that you could be playing Major League Baseball and have a home run, a double, and a triple, and you lash one into the corner. Are you stopping at first base?
I am not stopping at first base.
Good to know. Because I could see you going the other way and being like, I'm getting David Bell's out of the record books. I'm getting the newest Phillies site. You know, that's all going to be my name in the record books.
Yeah. Now I will say, if this is Phillies history,
you might have to consider. Right?
Yeah. I will do, James. If I like the Phillies could make the playoffs, they could win the World Series. I need someone hit for the freaking cycle. Like David Bell is my least favorite Philly of all time. I hated David Bell. Just can someone hit for the freaking cycle so we can just erase that memory from the record books forever.
But point is, any other team, you're taking the double and playing the right way. Yep. I respect it.
But you have to factor in. So I obviously be doing this podcast and being a superstar in the Phillies.
Point.
And everyone would know my personal brand of needing David Bell out of the record books. I would just feel my Twitter mentions lighting up if I did not stay at first base and get David Bell's name erased in the record books. So if I was a Philly and on the team, I would stay at first base because I'd need David Bell gone. But on any other team, I'm going for second.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I think that's a correct answer. All right. We're getting out of here again. We'll be back Thursday. 3 of 4, Jack. Can we say 3 of 4?
If they take 3 of 4,
let's go.
This podcast on
Thursday
is going to be electric.
Let's go. 3 of 4. And listen, if anyone out there knows where Jim Nantz went and, you know, reaches out to him, he wants to come on the pod and tell us what his future is going to be, where he's going to end up, we're happy to talk to Jim too. So
and bum touch tone.
3 of 4. He spreads himself to a popular.